there are some lies in our science books. Taught it for 15 years. Even though I'm not teaching it anymore, I still like to study. It's so many neat things to learn. We're going to cover some of that tonight.
Perception is being managed. We are being steered and guided by a hidden hand.
The whole world has been duped by the media that is not real.
Smart thinking, possible time traveler. Smart thinking.
That night, boom, contact memory.
And then, Alex, if you don't agree, you'll be sent to a re-education camp.
Just because I'm old doesn't mean I've lost my touch with the ladies.
A lot of people here tonight felt like they lost. You know why?
Now, experts are suggesting that we're in a golden age of shape-shifting reptilian sightings. Now, why is that?
I was, and still am, a huge conspiracy guy. I literally ran out of new tin hat topics to research.
It was most definitely not capable of melting steel.
Then I would be a crackpot if I thought that was the case.
Welcome to the Hypothetical Institute, a podcast about conspiracies.
My name is Luke.
I'm Salty.
And I'm Cam. How are we, gentlemen?
I'm all right. How are you?
Yeah, good.
I'm good.
Good.
How's the coffee?
Coffee is great.
Delicious.
Good.
Had a little car trouble on my way here.
Oh, no.
Shocks are gone. Shocks were fine.
Mm.
Can just at any time it can happen to you. Your shocks just go.
Mm.
But when I went into the mechanic...
We've got a little bit of mechanic gear going on. Here we go.
I did have my notes for this episode sitting on the passenger seat.
Yep.
And he picked them up and he put them down on the dash. And I was just like, oh, you just keep your ears out for whatever's making that scraping noise and please don't look down at these cooked ass notes.
Can you tell me what the notes were about?
Well, this week we're going to be talking...
You like that little segue?
Yeah, it was good.
Why don't you tell us what our topic is this week, actually, Robert?
Yeah. Oh, hang on. Hang on. Do I need to turn the levels down for what's about to happen?
What do you mean?
This week, we're talking about mummies and ditties, or zombies.
What? They're like father conspiracies.
Doesn't work, because he did a weird thing
he
with his voice.
He followed up with the zombie thing as well.
Because he knows what was up.
Oh, what? What do you mean?
We're talking about mummies and daddies.
Yeah.
Mothers and fathers.
Yep.
So, we're going to be talking about mummies and zombies.
What was the bit you were going to do?
Oh, it's just going to be a terrible New Zealand accent bit.
Oh, God. All
because right. When you say mummies and daddies, it sounds like you're saying mummies and daddies.
Okay, yeah.
Same word.
Yeah.
But let's move on.
Yeah, cut all that.
Didn't pay off the way that we had planned it.
Cut it.
After having planned it for so long, yeah. It did not pay off in the way we'd planned.
That was a good result for me.
Yeah.
What are we going to do first? Mummies or zombies?
I think mummies.
I'll start off with mummies.
What do we learn about mummies?
Well, don't piss them off.
Yeah.
Do you come up with some good mummy curses, Salty?
Well, I came across one mummy curse that I don't think I had ever seen before. And I was like, I'm so into this.
Mm.
I'm so down with checking this out, which was about the mummy curse that sunk the Titanic.
Right.
Or the Olympic, whichever way you want to follow on that one.
Yep.
Check out episode whatever.
Yeah. So apparently the mummy of the daughter of Akhenaten. Amun-Ra was secretly being transported from England to the US. And it had been held at some museum in London for a long time. And then no one wanted to buy it because it was apparently super cursed.
Yeah.
So someone ended up buying it in secret and they ended up putting it in the manifest for the Titanic secretly.
Mm. That doesn't have an effect on the curse.
Stowing it away.
The mummy's not like looking at the...
The manifest.
The manifest being like, oh, interesting. I know who to curse now.
So they set out on their epic history-making voyage. What happens to strike? The curse of the mummy.
Ugh.
Sinks the ship.
And?
So I was like, all right, I've got to find more info about this mummy. find out all the history of everything like that. First search result, Snopes, false. Oh, damn it.
Yeah, but you know about bloody Snopes, though. It's fake news.
Is it?
Ah, yeah, of course.
Well, it's good news for this then.
Good news for this then. But it said the actual mummy of the story is only the cover of a sarcophagus, and it's still sitting in exactly the same place now as it was when the Titanic left in that museum in London.
So hang on, the sarcophagus was definitely on the ship, though?
No. Nothing, okay. Nothing ever touched the Titanic or went near it.
Okay.
Except for an iceberg.
Except for an iceberg.
Mm. And people.
I don't even
and
know.
And the Federal Reserve.
Yeah.
I don't even know where this ended up coming from.
Okay.
People were just like, oh yeah, this mummy. You hear about this cursed mummy? It was probably being shipped in secret to the US.
Yeah, right.
It's like the Titanic. I was so bummed. And then I was even more bummed because I was like, where is this mummy? And they're like, well, it's not actually even a mummy. It's just like the wooden panel from the front of a sarcophagus.
Which can still be cursed.
Yeah. But still, I wanted to see a mummy.
Yeah.
It's like I'm looking up mummies.
You don't want to look at wooden panels.
No.
Or just boring ship manifests.
No. But Amun Ra's dad, Akhenaten, was like the... He was the pharaoh that started ruling Egypt who changed their worship structure from like all the different gods to worshipping the sun. Like turned it into a monotheistic society. And then they fucked him off and they were like, all the gods are back. It was pretty interesting. He was one of the... He had like a really weird elongated face and everything.
Oh, yeah.
Everyone reckoned he was probably some sort of alien hybrid.
No doubt.
Yeah, it makes
or
sense.
Or an Atlantean.
Hmm. Hmm. If you're going to worship anything, the sun's probably a pretty good one.
Yeah.
Like, it's always there.
Yep.
Yep.
Does a lot of good.
Does a lot of good.
Yep. Quite hot in Egypt.
Mm-hmm.
Good thing to fear.
Yeah, 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 definitely.
It's like, oh, I'm up to no good in the night. Oh,
yeah.
Shit. God's coming up.
Yeah.
I can see everything.
Little did they know all along he was bouncing his sneaky eye off the moon.
Yeah.
A little periscope that he had.
Yeah. You're not safe at night.
Cam, what did you find?
I came up with the Siberian Ice Maiden, a.k.a. the Princess of Ukok, which is a 25-year-old skeleton that they found out in Siberia.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
There was quite a bit online about how the locals claimed that the mummy was cursed and... they'd made all sorts of claims about the things that had caused, which included, I think, natural disasters, maybe the war in Bosnia, and eventually the downfall of Hillary Clinton.
Oh, okay. Ooh.
But then when you actually look it up, the locals are like, yeah, no, we never said any of that. That's stupid.
Fake news.
Which is weird, because I always suspect that a mummy was behind the downfall of Hillary Clinton. But turns out,
so made up. The thing was, back in the 90s, the Clintons went over to Russia on a little holiday, and Hillary went to see, she got a private audience with the mummy. Actually, I guess, you know, they're like, oh, well, we won't have her going to the museum with everyone there.
Mm.
Take her in privately. But so the conspiracy theory goes that the Russian Secret Service set her up to get cursed.
Right. That's an elaborate setup.
Yeah.
Good on them if they managed to pull it off.
And they did.
Yeah. Huh.
Jeez.
Her fortunes only went downhill from there.
Told you Russia was behind it all.
Yeah, you did.
Just, I have to admit, the mummy part surprised even me.
Yes. Yeah.
So I started off by going back to what mummies actually are. Mm. A lot of cultures have mummies. Do you guys know this? There's mummification in...
Well, everyone's got mummies. You just have to stick something in a box.
Yeah, but
it happened.
So, like, Torres Strait Islanders were famous for their mummification processes. They had some excellent processes. The Egyptians and the Aztecs, Egyptians obviously, but the Aztecs as well. Mm. And so everyone has, like, their own little process. But there are theories that some of the processes popped up randomly, similar to other cultures in other parts of the world. And they're like, oh, maybe they... somehow got their process over. Mm. I think it was just coincidence.
Yeah.
Well, that ties back to the theory that there was like sailors, right? There was these ancient fleets of people who were traveling around.
Yeah.
Oh, but who's like sailing around the world and being like, all right, so Item number one. Here's how you get all the juices out. Yeah.
Let's start. How do you deal with your corpses?
Is that how you get your juices out, huh? All right. Fair enough. That's how you want to do it.
Yeah.
Well, one mummy they found, and I did. Oh, no, Henat Tau. I don't know how to pronounce it. Spelt Henut Taui. They did analysis on this mummy, and they found cocaine and tobacco leaves.
Right.
And this was a mummy in Egypt. And they're like, that's a bit strange. Cocaine and tobacco leaves weren't found in Egypt when this mummy was around.
Right.
And I watched a bit of a documentary about it. And it was kind of interesting. There was a period where mummies were being faked. When people sort of started getting into mummies, you know, the English guys going and finding them and bringing back the curses, people realized they could do a fake mummy and make a bit of money.
Yeah.
So the theory was that this mummy might have been faked, and that's why it had modern cocaine in it. People,
the dudes were blasting coke. Let's make a fucking mummy.
Well, like they get
be awesome.
They're getting that sweet fake mummy cash.
Yeah,
and then splashing all on coke and ciggies.
Yeah.
Good on them.
Sorry, can I just interject? That reminds me, the Russian mummy they did find with a little stash of weed.
Oh, really?
Oh. Which is like, that's always the best. You know when you get a record from the op shop. Like there's a little joint in there or something.
Has that ever happened to you?
That's the number one type of mummy to find one. It's got a little stash.
So they thought maybe the nicotine. So they realized that this mummy wasn't actually one of the fake ones.
Right.
But then they thought we could probably explain the nicotine by maybe a plant that's gone extinct. Maybe, you know, there was some explanation for it. I can't remember exactly, but then they like, maybe the same things happened to cocaine. They're like, nah, we can't find any explanation for why there's traces of cocoa leaf at this time, other than someone brought it over from somewhere else.
Yeah.
But then everyone's like, well, that's just ridiculous. We can't say that that's even remotely possible, but we still don't know. So I thought that was interesting.
Mm. So those ancient sailors.
Mm. Maybe
everywhere.
Ancient giants.
Yeah.
They didn't need to sail.
Yeah, just step Wade. Across.
Yeah, a few steps, a few bloody sneaky lines to pick you up halfway through.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, what's more likely, ancient sailors or like these nerd scientists getting on the gear?
Yeah. They dug up a mummy, had no cocaine or tobacco in it at all. They were just having a party in the lab, dropped a bag of coke in there. Fuck.
Well, they're like,
explain this.
They're like, man,
it was in there. It was in there already.
We've got all these mummies and no one cares anymore.
Yeah.
No one believes in curses anymore. How do we make it exciting? Cocaine?
Yeah.
Done.
Was everyone like, we need to snort the mummy coke?
Yeah. Take a shot of the red mummy liquid. Goo. Yeah.
Let's get a petition up. We must do the mummy coke.
Did you guys come across the Atacama mummy? No. Which is this tiny alien-looking mummy.
Oh.
Is that the three-fingered one?
No.
No.
That was the one the Russian guy found.
Yeah.
This was like 6 inches tall. Right. It was found in 2003 in an old nitrate mining town in South America somewhere. La Noria. It was 6 inches tall. The bones had some features of a child aged 6 to 8. Instead of usual 12 pairs of ribs on humans, it had 10 pairs. The head was an elongated cone shape.
Mm.
So think of like 6 inches tall. That's tiny.
Yeah.
Wow.
I could say average.
With a cone-shaped head and extra ribs. I'm like, well, this is just a fake YouTube thing, right?
Less ribs.
Oh, less ribs, sorry.
Mm.
But that's a weird-looking thing. Elongated head.
Yeah.
I was like, this is just some YouTube thing. Like a fake YouTube thing or a fake, you know, whatever. No, completely true.
Yeah, right.
Completely like verified by many scientists. They don't really know how it appeared. It was found wrapped in a white cloth near an old mining town. I think the bones, the age of the bones, I don't know if I wrote it down, but I don't think they could work out how old the actual bones were because of all the, I don't know, the nature of it. But yeah, they don't actually know. They just found this mummified tiny little body.
Would it not just be some sort of prematurely born baby that...
That was the theory, that it was a baby that was born with so many issues that it just obviously couldn't live at all. But like, I'll bring up a picture, and if you're...
But I suppose that being only 6 inches, that wouldn't have like fully formed bones, would it?
No.
Oh, yeah, I have seen that before.
Yeah, I think I've seen it before and gone, oh, that's just one of those fake alien autopsy style things. But yeah, I thought that was an interesting one.
You know what it reminds me of, Salty?
What's that?
You know that museum we went to in Amsterdam?
Yes.
What was it?
The Vrolk Museum.
Which is a museum of medical curiosities.
Yeah. You can see the stuff that looks like that there.
Yeah. Sometimes things just go wrong.
Yeah. If you're ever in Amsterdam, go check this place out.
Is that the university?
Yeah, the University Hospital in Amsterdam. It's a tram and a train ride out of the touristy canal area.
Mm.
But it's an eye-opening place.
Don't know if I want to do that.
You should.
Sounds like it'll make me uncomfortable. You
walk out of there going, shit, like, life's pretty fucking fragile. Every one of us that gets bloody spat out and has all of our bits.
Yeah.
Pretty lucky.
The one you mentioned about the three-fingered ones.
Yeah.
So they were, they started popping up on YouTube, and the guy that was doing all the talking and, you know, the scientist quoted Konstantin Korotkov, saying that he did scientific tests on the remains. They were white, I think.
They were like caked in white.
Yeah. And three fingers. And he said his scientific test concluded that they could be extraterrestrials or bio-robots.
Whoa.
He's also on record as saying the carbon dating shows that one of the mummies is 1,700 years old. Not that old. This guy, I looked him up, he's allegedly a biophysicist, inventor, and pioneer of the innovative scientific field called electrophotonics. He invented the gas discharge visualization technique.
And what is that?
It's nothing to do with
holding up a lighter and waiting for something to blow up.
Energy fields emanating from humans may be viewed in real time. He's also claimed to invented bio-well cameras, which more energy field stuff.
Right. It's like aura cameras, right?
Yeah. He's also got his website. There's lots of weird, like, more inventions. He claims he's a geneticist and he works for the St. Petersburg University. Strangely enough, though, searching his name on any database of scientists and also the university's database produces no results.
Right.
Those
mummies were also just found to be fake, right?
Seems to be, yeah.
I think they said that it was just like the three long elongated fingers were just extra finger bones from other bodies wrapped up.
Bloody Russians, eh?
Oh, Rob, I no need to bring that into it.
Another one I found, a mummy was allegedly found wearing Adidas shoes. It's like a super old mummy that was verified to be like a proper Egyptian mummy, but in the photos, looked like Adidas shoes.
So old that it got into the Nike Colin Kaepernick boycott.
Yeah. In the video I watched, the lady, it was two ladies, so it was like one of those kind of news channel, but not really a good one, things. She made the joke, Adidas, all day I dream about Mongolia. I was like, what?
I
don't think that's even a joke. Turns out it was just the stripes of the mummy's sandals.
Right.
Oh, so I wasn't actually wearing Adidas shoes.
No, strangely enough.
That's weird.
Yeah. Other than Adidas, mummies also used to be quite often buried, or people would be mummified with ibis. Known in Australia as the bin chicken.
Yeah.
They'd be mummified too and buried with the...
It's funny because like the ibis in Australia, people are like, fucking bin chickens.
Gross.
But to like Egyptian culture, they were like revered as being these super wise...
Yeah.
Like Thoth, the god of letters or whatever, is like an ibis-headed god.
Yeah.
They're just over here going, fuck off, you dirty cunts.
Jeez, I never said that.
They are a wise bird. They've got included into the fact that there's good shit in bins.
Yeah.
Yeah,
they've adapted amazingly well to humans taking over their territory.
That's all I got on mummies.
Yeah, I was always a fan. Do you know the Fiji mermaid? Heard of the Fiji mermaid?
No.
It's like a famous mummified, like a roadside attraction type freak show mummy of like a little mermaid skeleton person. I always thought that was really cool. Completely fabricated.
Right.
It was like a P.T. Barnum freak show.
Kind of.
Just take person skeleton, fish skeleton, whack them together.
Yeah, whack a few things together. Cover
like
it in
like dinosaurs.
Paper and put it in a box. People like, whoa.
I used to have a key ring that was a little mummified alien thing. Right. And you'd push a little button, it would light up all creepily. That was a really cool key ring. Wish I still had that.
What happened to it?
I think it just ran out of batteries. I was a teen. Man, I impressed the other teens with that down at the skateboard ramp, though.
Yeah, and you're still impressing us today.
Yeah, yeah. And our listeners. I'm looking it up now to see if I can buy another one.
Shall we take a little break and then we'll come back with some undeadies?
Yeah.
Yes. Guys, welcome back.
Just before we start on the next segment, we'd like to thank our supporters on Patreon, but especially Tom, who is our most cooked supporter of all. But thank you all for your support. It's really appreciated. It's allowed us to buy some cool gear that makes the podcast sound better. If you want to join those fine people, you can do so at patreon.com/hypothopod. And you can sign up for the various tiers. There's extra bonus content every week. Plus, you'll join Button Club, where even you could get a sweet pin or even a mystery box.
Mystery box.
I want to give a quick mention to one of our supporters, Damien, who won a cocktail competition this week, which I was judging. Didn't know he was a supporter until he was halfway through making his cocktail and he added 333 mils of tonic. And then he's like, that's one for your conspiracy people out there.
Nice.
I was like, wait a minute.
If you're 10 points.
If you're in a cocktail competition being judged by Robbo.
Yeah. That's a good way to pander. Yeah. And congratulations on the win, Damien. Keep pandering.
Yeah. Thanks, everyone.
All right. Let's talk about zombies. Robbo, not the bloody band, the Zombies. That stupid fucking song. We're talking about the dead ones.
What stupid song?
Wanna munch your brains.
Monster Mash?
No, not the Monster Mash. Isn't there a band called the Zombies?
Yeah, there is.
I don't think that like song that people, you know, when you're doing your New Year's mix? It's like, it's something about renew, like starting fresh or something.
The Cranberries?
Yeah, you think of the Cranberries.
The Cranberries had that song, Zombie.
Yeah, it's the Cranberries.
Zombie, zombie, yeah, Cranberries. Zombie, yeah. No, I'm talking about a band called the Zombies. I know the Cranberries and their song, The Zombies.
No, I don't know if you do.
Because it's not called Zombies.
Yeah.
I don't think you know about it at all.
All right, let's all pause while Cam bloody looks up some random song.
It doesn't even exist.
Yeah.
All right, fuck it. I was thinking
some song by the Zombies.
Right. You think
that everyone plays it.
Hang on. Did you look it up and realize it wasn't what you were thinking of? Anyway?
A different band. Was it
the Cranberries?
No, it wasn't. All right. Cut.
No. Okay.
Let's go. Started fresh. There was a band called the Zombies, though. But yeah. That song, Time of the Season.
Yeah.
Who's that by?
The Zombies.
What song were you looking up just then?
Oh, no, some other song.
Auld Lang Syne.
Oh, no. It's like... All right, I can't remember who it's by or what it's called. It's like hipster Auld Lang Syne. If you know what I'm talking about, at me.
Not the Pogues.
No, that's a Christmas song. Jeez Louise. See, you can't have a go.
I reckon you can still crank the Pogues through to New Year's, though.
Yeah, if you're not turning on the Pogues at New Year's, what the hell are you doing at your party? Boring party.
They've probably got a bloody killer version of Auld Lang Syne too.
Yeah, no doubt.
Anyway, hipster Auld Lang Syne. If you know what I'm talking about, you can at me. But if you don't know what I'm talking about, don't at me.
At him anyway.
At him and just tell him. Come
everyone
on.
Everyone just at Cam and say, did you mean the Cranberries?
No. Let's move on.
Zombies.
We're not talking about any sort of music. unless it's the bloody New Orleans rhythms, right, bringing us back from the dead. No, tell us about the real story. What's a real zombie to start with, Robbo?
Well, so zombies, the origin of zombies is a little bit... I was trying to think of a pun. Surely there's a pun here. Hazy, unsure, anyway.
Yeah, just like the famously uncertain zombie.
Yeah.
So too are their origins.
Yeah.
Yeah. Famous zombie that goes, brains?
Sure you don't want to cut any of this?
No, it's good.
Right. Go on then.
So Haiti was the kind of the birthplace of zombies. It's people aren't sure if they started with the indigenous people of Haiti or slave trade from Africa.
Right.
There are some words in some African languages that sound kind of like zombie that might mean, I think, soul or fetish,
right,
as in fetish as in like a little totem you carry around, mm-hmm, rather than a spiritual totem. But basically, it was sort of discovered in the late 1800s that zombies were coming up in some literature in Haiti or stories in Haiti of undead people.
Mm-hmm.
It was said that the people or the voodoo magicians would drug people and then bury them, and then they would get up later on. So people think they were dead, and they'd get buried, and then they'd get up.
Yeah.
There is one theory that slave traders used it to scare off or to scare slaves from killing themselves. So if you kill yourself, we'll make you a zombie, and then you'll just be living forever in this hell that we've created.
You'll still be working, but you'll be dead, which is even worse.
Yeah. And you'll be doing it forever.
Yeah.
You just won't die a natural death. But yeah, no one's really sure. And then they sort of started popping up in popular culture. There was some stories that made it into, you know, literary fiction. And then a movie called White Zombie came out, I think, in 1930-something, 1936, I think.
Cam, were you thinking of White Zombie?
No. Is that when people started getting worried, though? And they're like, hang on a second, be a white person? A zombie?
Interestingly enough, so 1932 was White Zombie, but also in 1929, The Magic Island was kind of the first reference to zombie in Western culture.
Right.
Prior to that, it had popped up in Brazil in 1819. Then a little movie came out called Night of the Living Dead. All about zombies, right?
It's a good right.
one. Yeah.
Wrong.
Correct.
Wrong.
No.
Nah.
No, they're not zombies.
They were never called zombies in the movie. Right. They were called ghouls.
Right.
And then everyone started calling them zombies. And then Romero started going, zombies.
Yeah.
That's what they were called. In the next movie, he mentioned them as zombies once. But prior to that, they were always ghouls. And then it just kind of became the zombies that we all know and or love.
Mm. The cracker of a film, that original movie.
Yeah. Did you see that there was a remake a few years ago in a shopping mall?
The original one was in a shopping mall too.
Okay.
The second one was in a shopping mall.
Yeah.
All right.
Cam.
No, The Living Dead was just on a property.
What was and it ended, it was a modern remake and it ended with that song.
Zombie?
They're All My Friends and They Died.
All My Friends Are Dead?
All My Friends and They Died. These are people who died. Jim Carroll Band? Oh, it's the best song.
Yeah, that's a great song.
Yeah.
It's just about people dying normal death, though.
Yeah. So that was the end of the movie.
Right.
Can't remember the name.
Is it suggesting that there should be a sequel to that song?
Sorry?
But All My Friends, they died and they came back.
Zack Snyder's remake of Dawn of the Dead.
Right.
Check it out. Really good. Sorry, Kim.
I thought it was interesting with the origins of the zombie thing in Haitian folklore.
Mm.
So, yeah, there's all those things like way back. But it wasn't really until the 80s that it became a big thing with a book called The Serpent and the Rainbow, which sort of laid out the process, which is you poison someone with a bit of pufferfish, a bit of tetrodotoxin.
And cane toad.
Yeah. Then you bury them.
Also, child's brain was part of that as well, wasn't it?
Yeah. You got to bury them and then you get them up and you feed them a bit of the zombie cucumber, Datura. That's the final process.
Right.
Anyway, all bullshit.
Yeah.
It's like so made up. And who's testing this?
I remember seeing like National Geographic videos and stuff of the Haitian zombies. And I didn't really get a chance to look at these this time around, but I feel like they were just probably people putting it on, right? Some Western journalists are here, let's do a little voodoo ceremony and freak them out a bit.
Well, I mean, who's like, all right, I've got to poison someone so everyone thinks they're dead. Then we bury them alive.
Yeah.
Then we, after, a couple of hours or something,
yeah,
let's bring them back out and give them the cucumber.
Yeah.
Why can't you just give them the cucumber? Like, why do you have to go through the burial process?
Yeah. Is Datura a cucumber? I thought it was a flower.
They call it the zombie cucumber.
Ah. Yeah, ZC.
What's that Killjoy show where they do the science?
Mythbusters.
They did a... tried to do a... I don't know if this was to do... I saw this when I was reading about this. I don't know if they were trying to disprove the zombie theory. I don't know. Hopefully they got to this bit before they started like getting the child's brains part.
Hmm.
But they wanted to see whether someone could survive being buried alive for that long. So they started burying someone, but then the coffin started to buckle under the...
Jesus.
Yeah. So even if you... If they survived the pufferfish toxin, you wouldn't survive. And this was like a proper steel coffin as well.
Right.
Like if you're just in some dodgy wooden coffin,
yeah,
you're just going to be...
Crushed.
Jeez,
that's terrifying.
Hmm.
That's more terrifying than zombies.
Yeah. I did read a thing about a Haitian zombie and the Haitian zombie powder, the pufferfish. This also made reference of being cane toad toxin as well. But I just love the author of it saying that, you know, there was this guy born in 1922 who was... first it says he was born in 1922. Details of his death or current whereabouts are not widely known. 1922, I'd say he's probably close to being gone.
Yeah.
But on May 2nd, 62, he was found unresponsive at his home and presumed dead and buried, but exhumed later by unknown parties as punishment for breaking Haitian code of honor. So he was given regular doses of Jimson weed, which apparently causes extreme hallucinations, and a form of hypnosis. So then he was put to slave labor in a sugar farm. Then later on, he was, I think, just set free. And it's like, off you go, you've served your time.
Yeah.
But I just love they start the next paragraph with, "This is all fact." It's like, no, sounds like 100% bullshit. "This is all fact, but no one is certain whether there is any combination of drugs which can render someone dead in all aspects except the brain."
So it's probably not fact.
I saw there was a bit in the old conspiracy world about the Nazis and zombies.
Okay.
There's a few theories that the Nazis were trying to raise the dead.
Was this Mengels?
A lot of it fit into like the Himmler's department that we talked about it a few episodes back in our Nazi science episode.
The occult real guys.
Yeah. Well, so his... You know, he had his little science department that was going out trying to find, you know, the Ark of the Covenant and Yetis and trying to find, you know, UFO technology, et cetera, et cetera.
Trying to.
So they did all... I think we did mention this. They also did some other dodgy shit. Was quite cruel. And one of the things that they worked on was experiments in trying to bring people back from the brink of death.
Mm.
Right.
So they wanted to do experiments with like the low pressure situation that someone, you know, like a high altitude plane would experience, and also experiments in how to bring back people who had crashed into the ocean, like how long a person could survive in those conditions. Unfortunately, the way they went about doing that is they're like, well, let's just recreate those conditions on all these people that we're just going to be murdering anyway. So the main guy that did this for Himmler was a guy called Sigmund Rascher. He was a captain in the Luftwaffe medical service. So yeah, he experimented on prisoners, putting them into like frozen ice water and then seeing how to cure hypothermia and things. Not a very nice dude. No. Some of the ways they tried were like, well, you know, we've put them in ice water, let's try boiling water.
Oof.
It's not good.
Jeebus.
Himmler came up with the idea, maybe the best sort of heat to bring someone back from this would be the heat of a woman. He's like, let's just get him in bed with a couple of ladies.
Jeebus.
It's yeah. like, all right, that's a spectrum.
Yeah.
yeah.
But, and yeah, even, I don't want to like be, I said a few episodes ago, I'm not a Himmler stan.
Mm.
But,
here we go.
he also said to this Russia guy, like anyone who survives these experiments, we've got to pardon them, right? We've got to give them, you know, just a life sentence instead of murdering them like we're going to. Russia's like, nah, it's fine.
Jeez, I don't know about you blokes. I'm starting to dislike these Nazis.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good news, though.
Oh, okay.
Old Sigmund Russia.
Yeah.
Came to a bit of a sticky end himself. One of the things that he tried to do was he said to Himmler, you know, one of the ways in which the Aryan race is superior is, you know, one of the ways we can, you know, make the Aryan race even stronger is by extending the periods in which women can give birth.
Mm.
So he convinced Himmler that his wife, Russia's wife, who was 48 years old, she was still giving birth to babies. It's like, I've bloody cracked the code for, you know, creating a huger Aryan army than you could even imagine.
Mm.
We can just keep pumping out babies this late in life. Himmler's like, that's bloody perfect, mate. This is the sort of, when I set up my occult Nazi science division, this is the sort of stuff I wanted people to bring to the table.
Yeah.
There's this round table that we have.
Yeah.
Great work, mate. I'm going to get posters up. We're going to put the whole your whole family on them. Just an example to everyone. Doesn't matter how old you are, just get in there and pump those babies out. Next minute, turns out his wife hadn't been giving birth into her late 40s. They'd been stealing children or buying them.
Okay.
And when Himmler found out about that, he had Russia shot.
Jesus.
He was either executed by firing squad, or there was also one guard claimed that he saw him being executed. They just went up to his cell and shot him through the food slot.
Jesus.
Wow.
So he got what was coming to him.
I think he got on. He
could have gotten some more.
Yeah, yeah. Not that I'm advocating torture.
Yeah.
But if anyone should have been tortured at that part of history, Nazi scientists that like to steal babies in the mix.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that people think that might be where the idea that the Nazis were working on zombie tech came from, that they're doing all this stuff that's sort of about being sort of bringing people back to life, but not in the zombie sense. There was also at one point, I'm not sure if this is where the something that's covered in the movie The Monument Men, I've never seen it, but at one point Allied forces found a bunch of ammunition. They found this huge depot of Nazi ammunition, but they also found a bunch of sarcophaguses in there that had... Now, let me just pull up who it was. They found a treasure trove of stolen artwork and relics, Nazi banners, and a large number of new uniforms. And in one chamber, they found the remains of the 17th century Prussian king, Frederick the Great.
Jeez, not so great now, is he?
Field Marshal von Hindenburg and his wife, and also a fourth empty coffin, a little plaque on it, Adolf Hitler.
Uh-oh.
Just getting ready. There's some idea, this is covered in an article in Salon called Did the Nazis Really Try to Make Zombies? There was an article that was written about this contained some ambiguous language about the corpses were to be concealed until some future movement when their reappearance could be timed by resurgent Nazis to fire another German generation to rise and conquer again. So that sort of makes sense. It's like, all right, maybe these Nazis were like, all right, we've got to take a little break and we'll come back. And we'll wheel out these corpses and everybody will be like, oh, Frederick the Great, Adolf Hitler, classic Nazis, let's go.
Yeah.
Some people interpret it as though, no, they will actually literally rise again. And that's why they had all these uniforms handy
yeah.
for all the other Nazis that we're going
to
bring back.
All the zombies they bring, the zombie soldiers are going to need to bloody kit up.
I feel like if I was part of the loose collective known as the alt and far rights, they are lacking a decent unifying figure. Donald Trump really isn't bringing the goods for them.
Mm.
If Hitler was to come back, fuck, that would be unified in a heartbeat.
As a zombie?
Yeah. Like, zombie Hitler? Yeah. Oh, great. Finally. Let's hope that doesn't happen.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, the fact that they hadn't, like, a division devoted to occult science is sort of...
Mm.
You can understand why people were like, were they working
on
zombies?
Yeah.
Yeah. I also read Nazi stuff regarding Mengele and his horrific fucking experiments and how they think he was tied into that whole thing as well. So he did horrible, horrible shit. Like break kids' bones.
Oof.
Over and over again in the same place to see how long it took for them to stop healing.
Oof.
And shit like that. They would cut people open with no anesthetic while they were still alive to study organ damage. And oof. Yeah, it was horrible. And one of the things I think, well, they conspiracy theorize of was they were also studying the brain to see how much of the brain they could destroy while leaving it functioning.
Yeah.
Fucking fucked up. You're right, Robbo. They're no good.
I'm glad you finally came around to my point of view. Yeah.
But they also think, these conspiracy bloody little rat bags, that Paperclip took out some of these bloody nasty guys.
Mm.
And what the Nazis did not finish, the United States will.
Which, there is a little bit of evidence towards. I mean, not the zombie part, but the bioweapons and rockets.
Yeah.
And maybe the zombie part.
And maybe the zombie
maybe
part.
Maybe the zombie part. Well, the whole mad cow thing ties into it as well. Because they were looking at that Nazi guy who was hanging around Plum Island whipping up a bunch of Lyme disease.
Yeah.
He was studying weaponizing mad cow disease.
Yeah, that's right.
For the Nazis. And mad cow's another thing they link with zombies too, because they think if you can weaponize that, the virus or whatever it is eats away at your brain slowly in your nervous system and just leaves the bits that can still function.
Mm.
So I was looking in terms of like real life examples of zombies. So yeah, mad cow disease is one sort of example. There's a similar thing.
Wait, so I always thought mad cow disease, cows got it from eating other cows. That's how it spread. Just
how zombies would spread.
Yeah, but like they were fed the flesh.
Yeah, I think it's caused by prions.
Okay.
Which is, they're transmitted by that. I don't know exactly what a prion is, but I know you don't bloody want one.
Okay. So, but when you get, say if I'm a cow and I got bovine John's something disease, BJD,
mm-hmm.
does that make me then want to eat another cow? Or?
Well, they think that it eats away parts of the brain that control like reason.
Okay.
Which is why people would turn into fucking animals and start biting each other.
Well, you made that good bit about losing reason and getting really thirsty recently.
That was rabies.
Taking a drink out of a fella.
Yeah. Okay.
But there was another prion-related illness in deer. I think it's called chronic wasting disease is the proper name for it, but in the Daily Mail they called it zombie deer disease.
Mm.
But basically they sort of waste away, and one of the last things that happens is they become hyper-aggressive.
Right.
So they have a weird sort of gaunt look at the end, sort of like a zombie.
Mm.
And they go a little bit nutso.
And does that then pass what they have on?
At the present, they don't think it can be passed to humans, but there's like the CDC and people have put out notices, you know, if you're going deer hunting and you see a super thin, crazy deer, don't munch it.
Yeah, right. That's like bats in Queensland.
Mm.
They're always warning you, like,
don't munch those bats.
If you see thousands of bats in the sky, don't worry about it. They're just going about their business. If you see one bat on its own walking along the ground or doing something crazy, stay the fuck away from it, because it's probably got one of those horrible fucking bat diseases. Hendra virus, yeah.
Yeah, jeebus. Oh, that's right, because they bite the horses and the horses get it, don't they?
Mm. It's a big problem out there.
Mm.
We could just... I guess we'll get to the United States government in a second. As long as we're on a roll, we found a few other zombie things in nature.
Yeah, like nature zombies. These are like real life things that happen when a biological creature of some sort gets an infection that makes them start acting in ways that they wouldn't usually. So the first one I found was the zombie ants. So the ants get infected with this type of fungal growth, which compels them to climb really high up on some vegetation and just hold on. And they just hold on there until they die, basically. And the fungus spores grow and burst out of their head and release themselves from this high vantage point. And it floats down onto the ant colony to potentially infect more ants.
Jeebus.
Then another little zombie ant gets infected. Goes, oh, I've got to climb that big tall thing up there until I die. Goes up there. And there's like photos of these little ant corpses with these big like planty things growing out of their head. So they get infected and go, got to climb.
Yeah.
They go up there and then the spores just start coming out of their head, infecting all the rest of the ants.
Jeebus.
If you've ever played that game, The Last of Us, which I do recommend, it's based on that.
Right.
Like if that disease were to transfer to humans. Well, I don't think there's anything in there about like everyone suddenly getting super interested in jungle gyms.
Right. No one's just bloody running up the lampposts. there was a wasp that lays its eggs inside a caterpillar.
Mm.
So
I think there's a spider one as well.
Yeah, similar thing. Yeah. So the wasp lays its eggs in this caterpillar who then goes on about its business as normal while the eggs hatch inside of it and start having a munch on its guts. But the caterpillar lives and the larvae burst out of the caterpillar and the caterpillar still lives. It's not doing too flash. It's not having a good day. But they build themselves little cocoons nearby. But while the caterpillar is still alive, it for some reason will aggressively protect the cocoons.
Right.
So if any beetles come nearby and try and eat it, the caterpillar just fucking goes all nuts on it and tries to protect them. People don't understand why.
Mm.
Whether it's some sort of thing where the caterpillar goes, nah, I laid those eggs, they're my babies. Not realizing, hang on, I don't do that. That's not how my reproduction works. But yeah, but my favorite one was the frog sex zombies.
Mm.
So the Japanese tree frogs.
Good band name.
Yeah. Or you want a good band name.
Oh, here we go.
The Japanese tree frogs of South Korea.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
So they get infected with a fungus, which makes their mating calls faster and louder.
Mm-hmm.
So they got a group of these frogs and studied them. Half of them had this fungal infection. Half of them didn't. The ones who have it make this way better mating call than the ones that don't. So the ones that are all like fungi and gross, getting all the birds. The ones
frogs.
Frog birds. And the other ones aren't. So they're the ones who are infected with this thing are mating a lot.
Yep, Fruit City.
So they're spreading the fungal disease amongst all their mates. And it's like this fungus is sort of making them better at pulling other frogs. Pretty good. Where do I sign up for the bloody zombie frog powder?
There are a lot of zombie... I guess I'm just thinking of like David Attenborough things, and there's a lot of zombie animal things out there. And all this makes me want to do is watch more David Attenborough things.
Yeah.
Like talking about all the ones that the scientists came up with. They gave them a plant and buried them. And they come back and work in the plantation.
Mm.
Bit lame. Making them climb a tree to spread their spores and it grows out of the head.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah, parasitic things are insane. Like there's a parasite that goes inside a fish's mouth.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And eats its tongue out.
Yeah.
And then sits there like it's its tongue.
And just lives its life as the fish's tongue.
Yeah, and all the stuff the fish eats, the little parasite actually eats.
Yeah. That's just so fucked crazy. Up.
There's supposed to be, I don't know how true this is, I remember reading about it. There's some sort of parasite that you can get from cats.
Yeah, toxoplasma, I think it is.
Yeah.
Or maybe it's a toxoplasma parasite.
It just toxoplasmosis is what you get. Yeah.
One of the things it does is make you slightly more likely to take risks.
Yeah.
Which would explain you, Robbo.
Yeah, that explains a lot. I've grown dangerously. Cats and like to live dangerously. No, not so much anymore.
That's what gets Tommy. You guys seen Trainspotting?
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, that's what Tommy dies of.
Yeah, right. It also makes
it's a nice way of putting it.
It also makes you want to look after cats. So the theory is that you get it from a cat and then you say, oh, I want to take this cat in and look after it.
Yeah. That's definitely someone over at the cat PR agency who's putting it out there. Oh yeah, looking after cats is a very rebellious activity. having heaps of cats. Only the coolest people. The US government, though.
Yes.
They got the scientists from Operation Paperclip. They put them to work. They said, build us some zombies. And then they were like, hang on a second. What do we do when these zombies get out? And what they did is they came up with a plan called CONOP 4-8. CONOP 8888.
Okay. That's very Masonic.
Otherwise known as Counter Zombie Dominance. It's a 2011 military plan devised by US Strategic Command, or STRATCOM, designed to... It's a plan for what the US military will do in the event of a zombie outbreak.
Oh, no.
And it begins with the disclaimer that this is not a joke.
Right.
Oh, first thing, they go down and hire Night of the Living Dead, Dawn of the Living Dead, and Day of the Dead.
And then the Zack Snyder remake.
Then the remakes.
Then they go out and buy a copy of Jim Carroll's People Who Die because it's a dope song.
Mm-hmm. Chuck on the Omega Man just for a bit of a weird vampire zombie type hybrid crossover with Charlton Heston.
Yep.
I don't know if they did do any of that because not all the planning is like... They don't really plan for like... they didn't get 28 Days Later out, I'll tell you that.
Yeah.
Right.
They're not ready for that situation.
No.
Shaun of the Dead?
I think that'd be all right with Shaun of the Dead.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Zombies. But yeah, they the slow, dumb zombies is the ones they've prepared for.
Right. Big mistake.
Yep.
So the thing about this thing, this is a genuine government document that was put together by Stratcom.
Hmm.
It does say it's not a joke, but it was sort of a joke. It was a genuine training exercise that they put together. And they're like, all right, what are we going to put on this as the enemy? Should we put Nigeria? No, because if this ever gets out, people are going to be like, oh, so you're going to war with Nigeria? Like, no. They're like, oh, should we put Libya? And they're like, no, Back to the Future did it.
Mm.
Let's put zombies where no one's going to read this ever and be like, oh my God.
Actual zombies.
Zombies are real. Anyway, it came out a few years ago on the internet and a few people were like, why would they put together a plan on how to deal with zombies unless zombies were real?
That kind of went like that. Their site went down as a result and people started panicking, thinking that. Like, people legit were afraid. But, like, they doubled down on it, or the American, I guess, government agencies doubled down on it and did the same thing. The Weather Channel followed it up. They did an article called How to Weather the Zombie Apocalypse, which included a fictional interview with the director of research at the Center for Disease and Development. And it had questions like, how does the temperature affect zombies? Do they run faster in warmer temperatures?
Yeah, the Center for Disease Control did a whole PR thing about a zombie apocalypse, which was really about emergency preparedness. It was just like hanging in on a little joke. Because, you know, it's boring to go out there and be like, oh, hey, guys, let's all make sure we're ready for when there's a hurricane. Hey, has everyone got their go bag ready for the hurricane? It's like, yes, no, whatever. But if you put a little fun pop culture spin on it.
Yeah.
It's funny, actually, so there was a Freedom of Information request and they got the whole file of this document that Stratcom put out. But it also came with like their little background chat because it was like on a wiki.
Mm.
So they got the talk page of it as well. And in the talk page, they're also talking about the impending release of the document.
Right.
And they're like, oh, yeah, it was good to... Because I think it had come out to some newspaper and then someone else did an FOI. And they're like, oh, it's nice that they were showing people our cool document. And they're like, yeah, it's like that cool CDC PR thing they did.
Are they going to get in trouble now that there is hurricanes bearing down on the US and people are going to be like, well, I know how to destroy the brain or the head, but how the fuck do I get out of the way of this hurricane?
Now, the reason this came up was because of quarantine incidents. the reason we want to talk about zombies. Vanilla Ice was on a plane in Dubai where 100 people got sick and they quarantined the whole plane. And
was Vanilla Ice on that plane?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But he was up on the top levels, one of those double-decker planes.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Has Vanilla Ice got that kind of money still, do you think?
Yeah.
Obviously, yeah.
That Van Winkle Bank.
Yeah. the cool as ice is still raking in the royalties.
Surely he's making money off Ice Ice Baby still. He would have paid off all of his record company debt.
Yeah, maybe. As people pointed out, though, he's the right person to have there because, as he says in the song, if you've got a problem...
I'll solve it.
Yeah.
But
then he did nothing to solve his problem.
No.
He's like, I don't do that anymore. I flip houses.
Tweeting from his ivory tower. but then there was two other planes that happened to as well, where massive lockdown. And that obviously raised people's suspicion. And people thought might have been some sort of zombie outbreak or Ebola outbreak. But people said that might have been zombies.
Just horrid gastro through the plane.
Well, no, it turns out... what had happened was it was a lot of people coming back from Hajj, the Islamic celebration, Muslim celebration.
Yeah.
Where, you know, it's millions of people, quite a few people in one place. And then obviously to ripe ground for flu-like symptoms to spread.
Mm.
And so Dubai, obviously, and then, some bad strain of flu ends up on a plane. And some accounts from people that were there said it was actually not that bad.
Right.
A couple of doctors came onto the plane, just gave everyone a little bit of a free checkup, particularly in America, if you're American. Free checkup.
Yeah.
Take that.
Also saw a couple of years ago, there was a story that the government, US government, had been stockpiling hollow point bullets.
Mm.
They'd put in a big order of hollow points. And it's like, why are they getting all of these hollow points when normally they just buy the normal bullets?
Mm.
It's like, well, maybe they had a bit of extra money left in the budget
at
the end of the year. They're like, oh, let's get the cool ones that explode.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's like, why would they be preparing for this? Well, it's like, maybe they're just preparing to shoot a bunch of you. It doesn't have to be zombies.
Yeah.
Maximum damage.
There's also a few things like the... do you remember that guy in Florida that started attacking someone and eating their face? Yeah.
The bath salts guy?
Yeah.
Well, that's the thing. In the initial reporting, they're like, there was no trace of the drugs.
Right.
It's like, well... Check him for bath salts. He was on bath salts.
Related to the quarantine thing, I watched this guy that said it was a warning shot. Like in the headline, it said, you know, it's a warning shot for the upcoming flu season, was the quote. And the guy's like, see, pre-programming, we need to get our warning shots. They're warning us that we need to take our shots.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, that's kind of what he's doing.
Yeah.
It's important. But then this guy claimed it was a bioweapon. And it was possible they were going to use zombies or the idea of zombies to roll in vaccinations. Also came up, tied in. So shit, the zombie attack's coming. Everyone needs to get vaccinated against the zombie. The
zombie vaccination.
Yeah. And then I came across a prophet, a mighty wind was the prophet. And it sounded like she was reading the
Mighty Wind.
Yeah.
The funny movie about the folk musicians.
Yeah, yeah. That same one, I think. It sounded like she was reading it down like a telephone line from a prison. Imagine a prison phone line, like you heard on Serial. kind of sounded like that. Really like, rah. But her prophecy, she was saying that never get vaccinations to protect you from fake zombie plague. Only God, Yahushua/Jesus Christ, can protect you. I hadn't seen the Yahushua name. It wasn't Yahweh or anything. That's what she was claiming was going to protect us. So, if the government does warn us of a zombie attack, don't get your vaccinations.
Right.
Pray to God.
Yeah. Careful when you're on the bloody phones that you don't get shivved.
Yeah.
Especially if you're fucking annoying everyone with all this zombie talk all the time. We fucking heard it.
Yeah.
I'm trying to make bloody bolognese out of Doritos over here, mate.
Yeah.
Doritos and Kool-Aid. Can you shut up about zombies?
Trying to make your bloody prison wine.
Yeah.
Anything else about zombies?
I did come across an alien thing. There was talk of apparently aliens in New Mexico at some underground base are working with the US government
on making zombies.
On making
Frankensteins.
Frankensteins. So the aliens are trying to make Frankenstein like zombies. But little they know, under their nose, the US is trying to make zombies.
Who can you trust?
Only yourselves, I guess.
Or I can people can trust us.
Yeah.
Yeah, trust us. Yeah. Favorite zombie movies, anyone?
28 Days Later. It's pretty good.
Yeah, I'm going to actually go and agree with you there. It's great
soundtrack too.
Yeah. Yeah.
Who's done that? By Godspeed.
Yeah.
The Black Emperor, yeah.
Yeah.
I saw a, fuck, I can't remember the name of it. I saw a great French one at the film festival the other day.
Right.
So it's something about the night, but it was just about French hipster.
Yep.
Goes to a big party, gets drunk, falls asleep in his ex's like a back room.
Right.
Wakes up the next morning, everyone's dead everywhere. He's like, oh shit. Oh, or, no. Ah, murder.
Oh, not again. Did you guys ever watch The Walking Dead?
No, I saw one or two episodes on a plane once.
Right.
Yeah, I used to watch it.
Yeah. Are you one of the people like me that watched it and then was just ended up thinking, why the fuck am I still watching this show? Because it's actually really boring.
I am. I just sort of, I think I missed a few episodes and I was like, just never bothered getting
it. Yeah. I watched it for like many, many seasons and literally got to the point where I was like watching it going, why am I still watching this? I'm not enjoying it at all. It's really, really fucking tedious.
There's a really good episode of Spaced. Right. Somewhat of a precursor to Shaun of the Dead,
mm-hmm.
where he gets hooked on a zombie game. Might be Resident Evil.
Yeah.
And he does attack a lot of speed.
Yes.
and thinks everyone's zombies. It's great. Very good episode. Highly recommend you watch that.
I did come across, speaking of speed, actually, one of the other things that people are like, oh, well, the Nazis doing zombies? Which is when the Nazis was like, what if we made up a special little pill that made people super aggressive and strong? Sort of like a zombie.
Mm.
It was just speed.
Alrighty, gents, should we wrap this baby up?
Yeah. If people would like to find us online, hypotheticalinstitute.com. We're on Patreon at patreon.com/hypothepod. We're on Twitter at twitter.com/hypothepod. Facebook, iTunes, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts. Check it out.
Bloody worldwide.
Wherever you get your podcasts, check it out. Wherever you rate your podcasts, we'd appreciate it.
Mm. Go to cookedunits.com, check out our merch.
Mm-hmm.
Good seeing some photos of our actual merch on the Patreon page.
Yep.
That was fun.
It was very cool.
Cam, where do people find you?
They can find me at Sexenheimer on Twitter or gather around me on Facebook and iTunes for me other podcast.
You can get me at Ale of a Time, aleofatime.com. Yeah, that's it.
You can get me at Salt.
Sorry, is your book no longer in stores?
It's still in stores. I don't want to keep pestering people to buy my book.
Your book's been remaindered. It's been pulped.
Keg bottle can. It's still a great guide to Australian beer.
Yeah.
Maybe there's one page that might not be so flash in light of current events, but
pick one up for your mum or your dad for Christmas.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, or for a late Father's Day present. Yeah.
Yep. Mums like beer. Mums early like Mother's beer. Day present.
It's a big segment of mums that love beer out there.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you're a shit son or daughter to your dad, or a great son or daughter to your mum, get this book.
Yeah. Salto.
You can get me at Saltmarsh on Twitter and Instagram, Andrew Saltmarsh Illustration on Facebook for my art, and Tohider on Patreon.
Thank you.
Bye.
See ya. Don't worry about a thing. Except if all our world leaders are alien reptilians. Maybe the fluoride in our water supply contains mind-altering drugs. Don't worry about a thing. Except whether or not Port Arthur was a false flag operation in which to disarm Australia. I said don't worry about a thing. I accept. You can definitely hear John Lennon say, I buried Paul at the end of Strawberry Fields forever. Except not only did Bush do 9/11, but he also keeps the planes out in Area 51, which, let's not forget, where all the aliens are. Don't worry about a thing. Except Donald Trump is clearly a woman, and you're just blind if you can't see them. Why don't you open your eyes?